It's Tuesday, January 29th, 2007. Almost a month late, but welcome to our New Year's episode. Aloha and welcome to A2 Unplugged, the Apple II podcast, brought to you by A2Central.com, your total source for Apple II computing. Visit them at www.A2Central.com and by JuiceGS, the world's premier Apple II publication. Check them out at www.juice.gs. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. This is Ryan Suinaga, and you are listening to A2 Unplugged, the Apple II podcast, coming to you from beautiful and incredibly windy Kaneohe, Hawaii. Our contact information is, our website is over at www.a2unplugged.com. If you'd like to reach us by email, that email address is a2unplugged@gmail.com. And if you'd like to leave a message via voicemail, the number for that is 808-218-218. 2737. How's everyone doing? It's a new year. I just have to say I had my 40th birthday a few days ago. Happy birthday to me, I guess. And actually, the parties are not yet done. I have a birthday party on the 2nd. If you'd actually like to know more, you can check out my blog at rsuinaga.livejournal.com if you really are interested. I think this episode, we're going to limit ourselves to just a single voicemail comment because we have a very long show tonight, and this one is from one of our good friends, Andrew, down in Australia. Take it away, Andrew.
G'day, Ryan. It's Andrew Rowan here from Australia, Sydney, Australia. I wanted to give you a call and thank you for your efforts in presenting the Apple II-related information in podcast format. I think the meeting's an exciting one. I look forward to each installment that you produce with great anticipation. Secondly, I wanted to invite your listeners to participate in an online chat. I know there's a regular group of core people that join from the US in the US evening time, but then it becomes pretty quiet after they go to bed. I'm sure other people from other countries are listening and they might actually drop into the IRC chat and then find there's nothing happening and so they leave again straight away. So what I'm doing is I'm going to volunteer to be present in the IRC chat for a couple of hours every Friday night in February, and that'll, in Australian time. So that'll probably hopefully encourage some people that might be interested in having a chat to drop in during that time frame. We might talk about who we are, where we come from, interests we've got, what projects we're working on, potentially what gear we have to sale or trade. Postage is so expensive from the US out to Australia that I'm sure some of us have got some stuff that we wouldn't mind passing on to others if we knew that they were interested in it and can afford the postage. So once again, we invite people to come along to a Down Under chat Fridays in February on a2central.com, IRC server, atc.chat channel, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Australian Eastern Summer Time. That's 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. PST or 10 a.m. to 12 midday UTC. Hope to see you there. Cheers. Bye.
Thanks, Andrew. I have to apologize to our friends David Miller as well as Rocky because they both sent in voicemail comments, but unfortunately they were lost. Thank you, Sprint. This time around, we are also going to skip the news and reviews just like last time because, just like last time, we have the longest interview in the history of A2 Unplugged. This episode is like the equivalent of Twit, This Week in Tech, for the Apple II, but it's more like This Year in Two, as joining me are two of our guests of the past and top journalists in the Apple II world, Eric Shepard of Syndicom and Ken Gagne of JuiceGS. So joining me tonight here on A2 Unplugged, we have from Worcester, Massachusetts, Ken Gagne, editor-in-chief of JuiceGS magazine and the proprietor of GameBits.net. How are you today, Ken?
Hi, thanks. How are you, Ryan?
I'm okay. I am in the middle of a long work stretch, but I am seeming to be doing okay this time. And to Ken's right is
Eric Shepard, owner and operator of Syndicom, the rather large conglomerate of Apple II products. Shep, how are you doing today?
I'm pretty good.
Okay. Okay. And we may have someone else joining us shortly, but we will see. In any case, I wanted to try and see if we could do something that was like Twit, but instead of This Week in Tech, I guess it might be like This Week in Two, or rather This Year in Two, going back over some of the things that happened in 2006 and maybe giving us some predictions for 2007. So I'd like to open it up to the panel, and why don't we go ahead and start off with what were some of the things, highlights and lowlights, or anything you want to talk about that happened in the Apple world, Apple II world in 2006?
Sheppy, you want to start?
I would say that the increasing proliferation of availability of Ethernet support for Apple II systems is a great thing. Now that there's more than one card available to provide Ethernet support, and improving software support not just for the GS but also for 8-bit systems, I think that that's a fantastic thing. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to make it easier for Apple II users to communicate with one another, which is always a good thing given how hard it is to find information outside a relatively tight-knit community. I think that's the biggest thing, hands down.
Okay, great. Ken, you have a view on that?
Well, I definitely agree with that. It seems that we've been observing a variety of support for the Apple II community, but what's most astounding is that it's coming from people that many of us have never even heard of before. And I don't know if perhaps they've always been there and their publicity is just improving thanks to links from sites like a2central.com, or if maybe there are retro computing is just in vogue right now and there are a lot more people interested in developing hardware and software. But I think we're definitely experiencing almost a mini renaissance in the terms of availability of old and new products.
I could agree with that. I've seen some of that with people just sort of coming out of the woodwork with announcements, and I think that's great, and I hope to see more of it because it's I think that I see, you know, some the kind of the old vanguard of the Apple II development community, the folks who were big in the mid late 90s. Those of us and them who are still around have gotten to the point where we have such complicated adult personal lives now that other people need to take over, kind of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, since I got married and had a kid, my productivity in terms of producing Apple II new Apple II content has dropped off ridiculously. Mm-hmm. Regardless of how hard I try, and I think it's great to see new people, often younger people, coming along and contributing.
Okay. For myself, one of the things that I thought was a great development in Apple II world in 2006 was the proliferation of emulators on various platforms, and including Sweet 16 for OS X, which Sheppy developed in large part. I think that is a very big development, in the sense that it helps those people who have hardware which is seeing the effects of its age and not being all that usable anymore, or just someone who wants to be able to, say, put their 2GS onto a notebook. And also for people who write code, and I've been doing some of that myself again recently, people who write code, compiling that code on an emulated computer can be considerably faster than compiling it on a native actual hardware Apple II.
Well, I would also add to that another thing, and I think maybe even bigger than emulators, just because emulators have been around for a while, is the proliferation of new hardware devices that enable a modern computer to access older hardware. For example, There is a USB interface that lets you plug in an Apple floppy drive into your modern computer. It's still in development, but that's a huge, huge deal because it finally gives people a way to, for example, take all their old disks and make disk images of them, even though they don't have an Apple II anymore, for example. That's fantastically huge. It also provides a way for people who buy, for example, new software on disk to use on their emulator. This provides them a way to get it in. And then there's also, of course, the semi-virtual disk, which is a huge deal also, in that it provides a way to get disk images into a real Apple II from another computer, and that's fantastic also.
Can you have anything to add to that?
I thought old floppy disks were for ninja games.
No, that's been banned now, see, because of the
right.
A couple of years ago.
I didn't get that memo.
Yeah.
All right.
Now they're actually using ZIP 100 disks instead. You know. That could be even more painful.
Ouch.
I'm gonna toss out a couple of things that happened in the Apple II world in 2006, and you just tell me what your reaction is to that. Let's start off with Syndicom and A2Central.com being broken up and spun off into two totally separate entities.
Well, that's Sheppy's fault, not mine. So.
yeah. I'm still waiting for the payoff from that one in terms of improvement to my schedule. despite doing that with the intention of having more time, I've actually got less right now just because I'm still dealing with kind of the fallout from that. There are parts of the Syndicom website that need to be redone, and the online store still has some customization problems, you know, stuff like that. There are products that you can't buy at the moment from the online store, namely floppy versions of soft disk products, that kind of thing, and I'm having to deal with all of that. Orders are stacking up. I've got like 25 order backlog right now, which is the biggest I've ever had, and I'm kind of stressed to the point where I'm spending more time than I should goofing off trying to relax so that I can sit down and get some orders processed. And then guilt hits, and I'm like, oh God, I'm like, people are, you know, waiting for this stuff. And anyway, so I'm really hoping that here over the next month or two, this all starts to settle out and it actually gets easier. I hope that this is has been generally perceived as a good thing. I don't really know. I know that A2 Central has had some growing pains with the new software Sean is setting up and all of that, but I continue to think that this was a good thing, and we'll know more here over the next few months as both A2 Central and Syndicom kind of settle down back into some sort of routine.
Ken?
Well, I don't think I need to remind Sheppy, and I'm sure he doesn't want me to, of how devastated I was when that announcement came late one August night about the separation of the two sites. I operate 4.5 of the forums on Syndicom Online, and I think this now makes 5 services I've been a sysop on, which no longer exist. I hope that's not my fault. So I'm looking forward to A2 Central coming more into its own and become... Go ahead, Sheppy.
I was just going to say, Ken is the only person who like gave me a hard time about it when I decided to shut off the online services. The fact that was the only person who complained kind of made me think, okay, yeah, this was not a bad decision. Not because
I wasn't complaining.
Ken was upset about it or bothered by it. You were mad at me, man.
I wasn't mad at you. I was mad at the situation.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well,
anyway,
I'm glad to say that Sheppy and I have reconciled.
So few people... Yes, we have. We've kissed and made up.
Okay.
Well, euphemistically speaking. the fact that so few people complained about the decision made me feel a little bit better about it, more or less.
Okay. Ken, you had a little more on that?
Well, I just want to say that thanks to Peter Watson, I've been able to find some sort of a personal substitute. I thought that I would reallocate the time I used to spend sysop being into other extracurricular activities, but instead I'm now the sysop of my own blog, which I've never had before.
You have a blog now?
Showbits.net has arisen to replace the most popular form I managed on CinemaCom Online. That was Showbits, which is all about movies and films and theater. So people can access that immediately.
Ken, I thought you hated blogs.
I don't like personal blogs, but Showbits is all about films, et cetera. You're not going to find out any details about my personal life from reading this. So.
I see. I'm just a little...
Yeah, for that we have to turn to the tabloids.
Yes. I'm just a little stunned that you actually have a blog, because I swear that I've discussed with you several times about blogs, and you've told me that you've had great disdain for them, so... I'm just a little...
Well, I consider it more of an industry journal. So,
okay.
And also, this has given me the opportunity to familiarize myself with content management systems, which is proving an invaluable skill as I'm going through the job interview process right now.
Okay. Understood. Okay.
I also want to just add one thing. If anybody who had a website on CinemaCom Online now finds themselves without a website, especially in the Apple II community, drop me a note. My email is kgagny@showbits.net. I suddenly realized that I actually have 30 gigs of storage on my server, and Mark Percival is now using that to host his DiskMaker 8 website. The address is mark.gamebits.net. If anybody else needs some space, I have some to spare.
Okay. Well, I think that's a very generous offer. As for me, I saw the separation of the two as potentially a very positive development. I'm hoping that it would allow Sheppy more time to work on development, as well as running the online sales portion of CinemaCom, and giving Sean much more of a chance to shine. And hopefully it would also allow access to even more users than there have been in the past. What's come about so far has not quite been to that level yet, although there's a lot of promise. I know Sean has been putting in some very long hours, and we were hoping to get him on tonight. He unfortunately isn't available right now, but we were hoping that he could give us a little commentary on that, and maybe a little progress report as to how things are going. I will say that, as usual, the conference area continues to be pretty well populated, if not real busy, at all times. So that was one of the events. Second event, which we're all actually personally involved with, Ken Gagne becoming the new editor-in-chief of Juicy.js Magazine. Why don't we start that one with Ken? Yeah.
I survived my first year with a lot of help. There were a few bumps and bruises along the way, but I think it was a learning experience for all involved, and I think that 2007 is going to be even better, and I'm glad to have the same crew along, and I'm hoping to expand that crew. The issue that shipped last week, or the week before, of Juicy.js sported a number of new writers in the industry, or in the community, and I'm hoping to, if not have them back, then to continue to expand the staff with people who have not yet expressed the opportunity to contribute to an Apple II publication.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I did want to add before Shep chimes in on that I thought that the new writers were really great, particularly Margaret. And of course, I've known Margaret Anderson for many, many years. She's been to at least as many Kansas Fest as I have. She's been there every year I've been, and every year we see a little bit more of what Margaret can do, and every single time we've seen a little bit more, it's just been more and more impressive. And that particular article was really impressive, and it I think it showed that this very quiet young lady really knows a lot that other people don't know. I was very impressed by that. So,
I agree. Yeah, that article that she wrote was based on a presentation that she gave at Kansas Fest.
Mm-hmm. Sheffy, you had something?
Right, which was her first presentation at Kansas Fest, and I hope not the last, because it was a lot of fun. The article was great. I love the Hackfest entries she's done. She's done some remarkable things. I remember the year she did a sector editor a block editor, a disk block editor in... No, it was the file hex viewer. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. In HyperCard.
HyperCard.
Didn't even think that was possible. In HyperCard.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I liked
and
her...
That blew my mind.
I liked her presentation of it because it was taking a while, but she was just very confident. She didn't do what the rest of us would do, which is panic and wonder if something was actually going to work or not. But she was very confident, and it went ahead and displayed, and it was quite impressive. But, yeah.
That
being on Margaret
Carrington's article also I really enjoyed. He's a hoot.
he's a very funny man that I can say. Yeah, do you have anything absolutely more to add on Ken Gagne as the new editor in chief of GCS?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I did not think that anybody was going to be able to follow you in that position, Ryan, because you were so great at it. So I had my doubts, even though Ken is a good, great writer, and he's a smart guy, and all of that. I assumed that this year would not be as good as last, and I am very happy to say that I was completely wrong. This was a great year for GCS. Each issue, I think, was better than the one before it. I think that some of the changes we have made to how we produce the magazine have made it possible to create better content more quickly and efficiently. So that people's time isn't quite sucked up as much as it used to be, and I think that this year is going to only get better. I would like to remind people that it's time to renew, because they're still only barely trickling in. So if you're a Juice subscriber and you want to keep getting it, you need to renew, because we're working on the next issue now.
Yeah, I am one of those guilty people, but it is on my my bill list for this coming cycle. So for myself, I want to say that I was extremely impressed by what Ken was able to do in terms of bringing in new content and bringing in new writers and covering some topics like the BBS documentary that, you know, wouldn't have even crossed my mind hardly at all. So I was very impressed by that. Really impressed by a lot of the new writers. So I, you know, have a lot of positive things to say about that. I also wanted to let Ken know that I was listening to the Engadget podcast today, and I actually heard someone not named Ken Gagne use the word inbuilt in an actual spoken sentence. So I...
Oh, now it's spreading.
Yes, I actually had to stop it and rewind it a little bit just to make sure that was actually what I heard. So, but yes, I still
say that's not a real word.
I don't know if I'd say I was pretty surprised at the very least. I don't know if I'd say I was stunned, but I was pretty surprised. But in any case, I've been very impressed by that. Okay.
Well, thank you, both of you. You both wrote articles this volume, so, and Sheffy was the publisher, so I couldn't have done anything without either of you and everybody else. So thank you very much.
Oh, not a problem on my part.
And if anybody has any comments or suggestions, write a letter, editor@juice.js.
The next thing...
You did all the real work, except for the envelope stuffing, which I think you should come down here and do yourself once in a while. It's all kinds of fun! Anyway.
Plane ticket, I'll be there tomorrow.
The next item I'd like to discuss is the proliferation of Apple One clones. It appears that there's actually three, I believe, that either are currently or have just recently been sold, and I think there's actually even a book now about making, of all things, an Apple One clone.
Yeah.
Ken.
Yeah.
Any ideas on
Well,
that?
I'm more interested by the sudden proliferation of peripherals for the Apple One. I mean, where did that come from? That's completely unforeseen. I mean, just in the last couple of months, I think I've heard of three or four new peripherals for the Apple One. And that's just amazing to me. Because, you know, it's the Apple One, and that's just amazing. I get a big kick out of that. I really do. And I think it's fun. And from what I understand, it's a great little hobbyist-type computer. You can build it yourself. You can tinker with it. You can do all that. Things that you might be uncomfortable doing with your rather more expensive, in terms of original cost anyway, Apple II. Or certainly any kind of a modern computer. Obviously, the Apple One is a hobbyist computer from the get-go and was always that way. So it's sort of a more tinkerable machine. I think it's just awesome.
Ken?
Not too much to add here. I've never seen or used an Apple One, but I think it's fantastic that the efforts of people like Vince Briel are being met with resounding success, and I'm glad that people are there to support efforts like that and are enjoying the products of those efforts.
I agree. I've only seen... Oh, go ahead, Brian.
I would also say that I'm very surprised. First of all, well, I wasn't surprised that there was actually an Apple One clone to begin with. I'm just surprised that there continues to be continued interest in it. I thought it would be one of those things where, you know, you get like the first, you know, 100 or so people who are interested in it, and that's like, you know, that's it. And I'm just surprised that it continues to be more interested. You know, people are more interested in it than I would ever have expected. And Chip, I think, brings up a very good point here about the peripherals for it, and that is also really like, wow. I think it's actually easier now to connect a VGA monitor to an Apple One than it is to an Apple Two. Okay. yeah go ahead.
Well, especially because what's happened is these Apple One clones are being built with modern expansion ports on them. For example, I know that that Vince's the special edition, second edition is what it is. The second edition replica one has like a USB port for a keyboard. It's just like, okay, that's fantastic. I wish that somebody would do something like that for the Apple II, frankly, where you could use modern peripherals with it. That would be fantastic. Because it's it would be kind of about time. Now I see why it's happening with the Apple One and Apple II, because the Apple One is a much more open and simpler system. But I would love to see that kind of project kind of carry over to the Apple II world.
Yeah, and it would. I would love to be able to say that I kind of saw this as the you know, wow, if they're doing this for an Apple One, maybe they'll be doing it for an Apple II. While I think they might be some Apple II, as in early Apple II, non-2GS type clones coming, maybe, I would be very surprised if there was ever an actual clone of the 2GS aside from an emulator.
Oh, no, I agree. I don't see it very likely at all that there will be any... I actually don't believe that there will be any clones out of this movement to speak of. I hope that some of these guys who are doing some of these kinds of fancy projects can do some Apple II peripherals, for example, or, you know, expansion cards, that kind of thing. We still need a VGA adapter card that really works reliably, and we need ways to use modern storage devices more easily and that kind of thing. I would love to see some of these obviously talented hardware engineers kind of turn their attention that direction. That being said, though, I still think it's pretty impressive what these guys are able to do with the Apple One stuff.
Okay. Another topic. What about the proliferation of more and more old books and magazines being scanned and available on the internet? We had an interview a few weeks ago with Mike McGinnis, who put together computing-project.net, and we've also seen in the past other magazines such as Creative Computing being scanned, other books like Beneath Apple Protoss being scanned. What about that?
You want to go first on this one, Ken?
I'm just looking forward to the day when people are finding old copies of Juice.js on eBay.
Interestingly, Ken, I actually have seen an auction several years ago of a complete collection of Juice.js. Well, obviously not complete.
I saw one just a few months ago.
Yeah, on eBay. I don't know how much it went for.
Right. I think this is great, and I just want to give a shout-out to the guys at AtariArchives.org because they've, although you know they've got Atari in their name, they've got several books and magazines that are of great value to Apple II users that they have gotten rights to and have posted on the Internet, and I think that's fantastic, and I really appreciate their efforts.
Let's see. Any lowlights, any things that happened this year that we haven't mentioned before that you thought were not the best things to be going on?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I'm sure I will.
Yeah, about 5 minutes after we're done talking. I can't think of anything specific. I think that although we've seen a lot of exciting new activity, I think that in general it continues to be a little, it was a slower year than the year before, which has kind of been a trend for several years now. With the exception of like 1998 and 2000, which were both unusually active years in the Apple II world mm-hmm. as compared to the previous year, I think that last year still kind of continued this sort of gradual slowing down of activity in the Apple II world. Despite the fact that we did have some very exciting things take place, I think that it still generally was a much quieter year than 2005 was. Okay. That being said, though, I'm still... this whole Apple II thing is just still very cool.
Okay. Now, looking forward to 2007, anybody want to give a... prediction or two, as wild as you want to be, about what we might see in 2007?
I predict that we will finally have a Marinetti 3.0 final release sometime before the end of 2007, because we were supposed to have it before the end of 2006, and it hasn't happened yet. So I'm going to give boys down under the benefit of the doubt and assume that they meant 2007. I'm also going to predict that I won't quite go completely insane this year, and that I will manage to keep just enough grip on reality that I'm able to catch up on my orders and eventually start to more or less keep up with them. Yeah, those are my predictions.
And for your first prediction, you know, I guess I have to say that I'm wondering if Andrew is taking a cue from Google, where everything seems to be in beta. You know,
forever.
Yeah, every Google product seems to always be in beta. So I'm wondering if Andrew might not be taking a cue from them. I'm pretty sure Andrew wouldn't mind having a stock price like theirs.
But... pretty soon, it's going to be rebranded as Google Netty.
Okay, Ken, you have a prediction or two for 2007?
Very specific and not very broad ones. I predict that Juice.js will complete another year. We'll have interviews in at least 3 of the 4 issues. We'll have some new staff writers. We'll have no swimsuit issues.
That's just painful.
See, I'm gonna have to. I dropped my subscription right now. If I paid for one.
I think the kind of swimsuit issue I have in mind would probably cause more cancellations than it would subscriptions.
Okay.
Why? Who are you proposing to put on the cover in a swimsuit, Ryan?
That would be really bad for everyone. That would that would be like Juice.js after dark.
Let's see. I also predict for Kansas Fest, David Satella will be the keynote speaker in 2007, and I think that we will appropriately advertise this affair, and that word of mouth from last year's successful event will get around, and that we'll have a lot of comebacks this coming year.
Let me poke in a quick Kansas Fest prediction. I predict that I will not give any presentations at this Kansas Fest other than hopefully a new product announcement.
Okay. I have already dropped an email to the Kansas Fest committee chair with a proposal for an idea that would actually ensure that you do not have to give as many presentations as you did last year.
Whoa.
Well, I'm not. I have already decided. Wow, that's interesting. But I've already decided I'm not going to sign up to do any presentations this year because last year I did too much again and felt the pain. Okay.
Okay. But remember, if you don't show off at least one new product, you'll suck.
And I don't want to do that. So yeah, I'll have something. Okay. I don't know what yet, but I'll have something.
Yeah. My predictions for 2007. I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say that 2007 is the year we finally get an easy way to interface an Apple II to a modern computer monitor, probably VGA. I hope so. I will also.
I would love to see that, but I don't believe it.
Okay. I'll make the prediction. I have no inside information. That's just a prediction. I also will predict that 2007 will be the year that we once again get a large storage mechanism of some kind for the Apple IIc and IIc Plus. Whether or not it'll actually be reasonable and easy to use is a whole other matter. But you know, I predict that we'll finally get one of those as well. I also will predict that 2007 will be a year in which we see, I'll say two new software developers release new products for the Apple II. And again, I have no inside information about that. I'm just saying that.
Well, those are pretty good predictions. I think that more seriously than the stuff I said before, I think I would predict that we're going to see a little more activity this year. I do think that it is likely that we will see a little bit more on the hardware front this year, although I don't really know what. I have heard rumblings from various hardware folks about work on, you know, what one of the things you mentioned, a 2C mass storage solution, a hard drive or flash or whatever, I don't know. That would be very welcome for me in particular. I mean, just personally, I have great use for that. I would like to see somebody do a VGA-type solution. In fact, if somebody designs one and can get them built, I would be happy to sell them for you. I would like to see, there's all kinds of hardware stuff I would like to see happen. And it's just a matter of hopefully getting people, you know, having people put it together and make it available. And that's not obviously as simple as it sounds, but
obviously.
Yeah, that would be great.
Ken, any other predictions?
Well, the trend this past year seemed to suggest a tendency toward new hardware as opposed to new software, even though you would think that hardware is actually harder to create. But I think that trend is going to continue in 2007. We're going to see more peripherals, more interfaces, and more accessories being released, and probably not all the software that we're looking for. Certainly the stuff that's already out there, like Sweet 16 and Marinetti, will continue to be developed and updated, but I'm not sure how much new software out of the blue we're going to be seeing.
Yeah, I think I agree with that, and I think there's a good reason for it. I think that some of the new technology in terms of electronics components has made developing hardware and peripherals for the Apple II easier than it used to be. I think with the availability of more modern ROM programming software and the availability of FPGAs and things like that, you're looking at kind of a new world of hardware development that makes it a lot easier to do. Plus, there are also new prototyping products that make it possible to do more rapid development of Apple II expansion cards and things like that, and I think that's going to help as well. So I have high hopes, and I really hope to see some action on that front. I would love to see some of these fairly gifted hardware engineers that we've got kind of floating around pull off some cool projects and make them available to the public.
Yeah, and unfortunately, on the negative side of that, part of the reason I think that you may not see as much new software as we have in the past is people who like to write code sometimes see really great development environments on other platforms, and on the Apple II, we still have some rather older environments which aren't quite as wow as say, you know, Xcode that comes with OS X, you know, and being somebody who writes some code.
Right, yeah, and that's a huge I agree, that's a huge problem that I wish there was a solution for. Mm-hmm. Once you have kind of, as those of us who write code for the Apple II have grown up, we've gotten used to these very fancy modern development platforms on the Mac, on the PC, whatever, and then having to sit down and use Orca, you know, text-based or kind of a haphazard, minimal graphical interface without project management, without version control, whatever. It's very, very, it feels very tedious.
Yeah.
Plus doing it on the small 80 by 24 display, very frustrating.
Yeah.
And that's something that I would like to see resolved. Now, something that is exciting to see is Kelvin Sherlock. Actually, this is probably the biggest thing that I can think of, and I didn't think of it earlier, that happened this year, is Kelvin's new Apple IIgs assembler and linker written in Java, so that you can, and there's still works in progress, but you can actually, once as these things are developed, you're going to be able to start writing Apple II code and use Xcode as your development environment, and set up Xcode to use his compiler and his linker to produce GS applications. This is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's still, you know, a work in progress, like I mentioned, but as this stuff starts to come together, once there's the assembler, then comes the possibility of being able you have the possibility of being able to then take a C compiler and start building that up, and so forth and so on, and such. And I think this is possibly the beginning of a whole new era of Apple II software development as these projects mature. And I would urge people, and I don't have the information handy, I hope that you can find it and put it in the show notes, on these projects, but I hope that people will pitch in and contribute to them, because they are open source projects on Google Code. And I would love to see people help Kelvin make these things happen. Everybody knows I suck at text processing, which is a large part of what compiler and whatnot design is, so I'm not the best person to tackle it. But I would love to see some people who are actually good at that kind of stuff get involved, because this has the potential to be huge for the Apple II community.
And I was actually going,
I'm done now.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about that, if it wasn't mentioned elsewhere in this roundtable. I was going to ask you if you could comment on that a little. I've seen a little bit of it. Java is certainly not my language, so I'm, you know, not real familiar with it, and I probably wouldn't be able to help very much. But just the fact that he was working on it, I thought was pretty promising. Ken, was this something that you were aware of at all?
No, this is the first I've heard of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll make sure.
Been widely publicized yet. It's only been a handful of weeks now since he opened the Google Code open source pages,
mm-hmm.
Maybe only a couple of weeks. I don't remember. So it's very exciting. He's been working on the linker for several months,
mm-hmm.
And I've actually tried it, and it does work.
Mm-hmm.
There are things it doesn't do. It doesn't support creating. It won't create an express load object file yet, so it will load slower, but that's something that can easily be addressed in the future. Plus, there are separate utilities that will take a standard OMF format application, for example, and turn it into express format.
Mm-hmm.
And the assembler is, I think, a fairly rudimentary fairly basic work in progress right now, although it also does work, and you can actually assemble a program and then link it using his linker. This is very exciting stuff, and I can't believe I didn't think of it earlier, because this has the potential to be one of the most important advances for the Apple II in 2006.
I took a quick look at it. I've thought about it a lot. I haven't done any work on it. That certainly isn't the language that I speak very well, but I thought it was pretty exciting, and I actually have been trying to get Kelvin to come on to A2 Unplugged and talk about it a little. And Ken, now that you know about it, maybe you can see if Kelvin can give you a little bit for Juice.js.
I've already sent him an email just now asking him to write an article for us.
Ah, the wonders of the internet. The wonders of
any exposure we can get for the project will be a good thing because of its potential to do great things for the community.
Yeah, and I thought it was just, you know, a pretty cool thing just because it is just so much more inviting as somebody who writes code to sit down and look at something like Xcode and then to sit down and look at something like Orca. This is not a knock against Orca, but, you know, to look at the two.
No, Orca was fantastic, especially for its day.
Yeah, yeah.
And it still does the job and does it well. It's just not, it doesn't have the bells and whistles that people are used to nowadays.
Sure. Sure. So just I thought I would mention that a little bit as a possible reason why we may not be seeing as much software development as we used to. I don't know if that's really the case. I haven't heard anybody tell me that.
It certainly affects things for me. I know that the last two or three projects I've done have been done in MPW on the Mac, because even though MPW is not a very good environment, especially by modern standards, it does let me have large windows, which is a big advantage when you're writing in code. But it's still a pretty user-unfriendly environment, and so I still kind of poke at the stuff I'm doing in that. Plus, of course, since it runs in Classic, I can't run it on my current Mac, so I've got a Mac Mini that I bought specifically for the purpose of running MPW on it, so that I could continue to work on some of my GS projects. I won't get into how little time has actually been spent doing that. yeah, I bought this thing, and I think I've spent maybe a grand total of 2 hours using the computer so far. So,
well,
anyway, I've had it for almost a year.
Okay. Any other? I actually had one more prediction, which is I predict there will be a third Apple II podcast by the end of 2007. Again, I have no information.
So?
I just a video podcast. You know, but
a video podcast would be interesting, although I'm not sure.
Depends who does it. I think it depends who's the person. You know, actually Richard Bennett Forrest, who we haven't discussed on this program at all, has a pretty regular video blog, and he actually has one episode where he talks about Marinetti. Maybe he could be encouraged to do a video podcast, but didn't really think about that. But that's my third prediction, is that there would be a third video podcast sometime, a third podcast of some kind sometime in 2007. Any other predictions?
See, I'm not sure I can get on board with that prediction, but I think that it, because I mean, there's so many people at the time, and I think that it's possible we might see one, put it out in an episode or two, and then kind of dry up, but I don't really see there being a regular third podcast. To be honest, I'm surprised that the two that we have now have both lasted so long so far, because so many podcasts only last a couple, three episodes and then go away.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty impressed, actually.
Okay, thank you.
In fact, I would actually list that among another of the big advancements in the Apple II world in 2006, is the fact that we have two very good podcasts. They both have very different approaches to how to do things, but in terms of the type of content and whatever, but they're both very good, and the only two podcasts I actually listen to. So,
and actually, I have a little story about that actually involves Ken, which is when Ken was not sure if he was going to get Carrington's article in time for publication, he suggested to me that maybe I can write an article on putting a podcast together, and I told him, you know, I'm probably not real well qualified to do that because I'm just kind of like doing this at the by the seat of my pants all the time. And fortunately, Carrington's article did come in on time. And now that I've read it, I realize just what a rank amateur I am compared to like what he does. I was just like, oh my god,
Carrington's got an awesome.
Yeah,
Carrington's got an awesome setup there. I'm amazed.
Yeah, well, I was looking at the picture of the microphone and stuff that he has, and I was thinking, that must just be, you know, like all for show and all of that. And I'm reading his article, and I'm thinking, oh my god, here I am sitting in the basement of my working place, you know, with a $5 headset hooked up to my iBook. And this is what Carrington's doing, and I'm like, oh my god, it's, you know, just I could have like lost every single bit of credibility I still had by putting that article together. So Carrington, you just saved, like, you know, you just saved me tons of grief by coming through with that article. So I just thought I'd let you
know. Well, I'll say
that
what you lack in polish, you make up for in competence.
Oh, thank you. But that I was just reading his article, and I was like, oh my god, if I actually had put something together, I would not be able to like show my face in public anymore ever. So just thought I would add that. Ken, you had anything more to add?
Well, you mentioned a prediction for a third podcast. What are your predictions for the existing two?
Well, I'm hoping I can get a better schedule workout. My goal has always been to put out like one every 2 weeks, and that just really has been difficult for me to do. It seems like more like about once every 3 weeks. I don't know if once every 2 weeks is a reasonable goal. I still am working that out. It may get there. I think for A2N Plug, that's more of a goal maybe than a prediction. I will predict that we will continue to have regular editions. That I'm sure of, and I'm still hoping to get a couple of rather elusive interview guests on, who I've been working on for a while. So that's my prediction for A2 Unplugged. For 1 MHz, my prediction for 1 MHz, I would say that I predict that Carrington will show up at Kansas Fest 2007 because he's been talking about it. So hopefully
he seems very excited about it.
Yeah. So I'm hoping he shows up there. I predict that he will be at least as much of a goof in person as he is as he is on his podcast. He has a great sense of humor. And I also predict that he will be able to keep a pretty regular schedule with his. I do think he missed a month, if I recall correctly, but I could be.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Okay. So aside from that, but you know, I do have some understanding now of the difficulty of putting one out regularly. And in fact, I was there's a guy who's local to me who puts out Geek News Central, which is a twice weekly podcast, which is about an hour in length each time. And this is a guy who he's a father of, I think, 4, and he works full time in the military, and he's also a student. And I am just perplexed at how he can actually put out 2 1-hour podcasts every week, you know, because I can tell you, problems with schedule are not due to a dearth of information. You know, the problems in schedule are just problems in schedule. It's, you know, finding time in between everything else you're doing. So I'm just astonished by that. But that so Ken, for you, that's my my podcast predictions. Did you have any other predictions or anything else you wanted to add, Ken?
No, this conference call has gone on quite a while. I think it's given us the opportunity to go over a variety of topics, and I can't imagine that we have overlooked anything too important.
Yeah, Sheppy, anything else?
I'm sure we've missed something important because these always do. Mm-hmm. I would like to do this again next year, certainly, because it's always kind of fun and interesting to rehash things and see where we came from and where we're going and all of that.
Okay, well, we'll set that up, and hopefully we can get maybe one or two other Apple II-type journalists to join us in that. So I would like to thank my two guests this week, Ken Gagne of GameBits.net showbits.net.
And showbits.net.
Yeah, showbits.net. Yep. And juice.gs, editor-in-chief of Juice.gs magazine, for joining us here. And Eric Shepard of shepiware.net, syndicom.com, bitstampede.com. If you haven't taken a look at that, I would suggest that people look at that. It's certainly better than my blog. And I know you've got a couple of other sites somewhere besides those two.
Yeah, I have so many sites. It's sad. Yeah. It's very nerdy.
Yeah, but I would suggest that you check that out. I'd like to thank you folks for joining me for this look at 2006 and predictions for 2007. And I hope to see you all soon.
By the way, Ryan.
All right, thanks for having us.
Is it too late for you and me to wish Sheppy a belated happy birthday?
That's correct. Eric Shepard turned 31. Is that correct?
35.
Where has the time gone?
35.
Just
I
yesterday.
I don't know. I was 19 when I released my first Apple II shareware product. So, yeah, that was back in 1991. Spring of 91.
Oh, my.
So it's been a long time.
Wow. Ken, how old are you now?
I hope to someday be as old as Sheppy is.
No, seriously, Ken, how old are you now? I can't even recall anymore.
Well, you know, it's funny. Just yesterday, I was having lunch with Lauren Damewood, and we were reminiscing about back when I was the Apple II User Forum Member of the Month on CompuServe, and I think that happened when I was 12 years old.
And this must have been in the early 80s?
No.
That's early 90s.
Early
90s, yeah. Ken is a young pup.
Yeah, Ken is still a considerably young person, but I'm just blown away. And actually, if you folks remember, I turned 40 a week from today. I actually have two birthday parties this year for some, at least two. I actually might have a family party for some reason, but...
Well, they're doing that because, you know, you are turning 40, and they're worried you might not remember the first one.
There you go. But, yeah, so I'd like to thank...
You can read that in multiple ways, and any of them may be appropriate.
What we lack in polish, we make up for in content.
There you go. So I'd like to thank the two of you folks for on today, and I hope to see you folks soon, and happy birthday to... You, Shep, and happy,
and
I don't know,
you.
Happy whatever to you, Ken, whatever it is that you've had.
Thank you. Happy birthday to
happy
you, Ryan.
Sunday.
Happy job interview or happy, I don't know what else it is. But in any case, thank you both, and I hope to see you folks soon.
Very good. Thank you,
right.
Ryan.
Okay.
And happy
care.
New Year.
Thanks, guys.
I'd like to thank Ken Gagne of showbiz.net, GameBits.net, and Juice.gs, as well as Eric Shepard of Syndicom.com and Sheppyware.net for joining us on this episode. I'd like to thank everyone for listening. I'm hoping for some more of those great listener comments like we've had in the past. I also promise to try my best not to have Sprint lose any more voicemail. I'd like to thank our sponsors, the all-new A2Central.com, your total source for Apple II computing, for helping to bring this podcast to you, as well as Juice.gs, the world's premier Apple II publication. Thanks everyone for tuning in. We'll see you again, maybe even on time next time. Remember, our email address is a2unplugged@gmail.com. Our website is at www.a2unplugged.com. And our voicemail hotline is 808-218-2737. Ma'alama pono, ahui ho. Thanks for listening, everyone. Aloha and good night.